Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh.
Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com. In this week's message, we're going to talk about running. Running to do the will of our Creator, our Abba. The last few weeks, we've been talking about listening to that still small voice of His Ruach, or Holy Spirit. This week, we are going to explore running. Do we drop everything and run to do His will once we hear from Him, as soon as we hear from Him? We will look at several examples in Scripture of running toward Yahweh, or running to do His will, as opposed to procrastinating when we hear His voice. How might an attitude of running or procrastinating affect our physical and eternal salvations? Is it possible that the difference between the Revelation Church of Philadelphia as opposed to the Church of Smyrna may have something to do with how quickly they respond to the leading of His Ruach? How quickly we respond to the calling of Yeshua upon our lives? Hopefully this message will inspire us all to listen even more intently and then run when He calls us. First, let's look at the first place in Scripture where a servant of Yahweh runs to do His will, or more specifically, to meet Him. Genesis 18:1-8 is the very first passage in Scripture where anyone ran to do anything. It is the first passage where the Hebrew word for run, H7323 in the Strong's, is found. After I read this passage, then we will look at the Hebrew word for run, which I found quite amazing. Genesis 18:1-8. Then Yahweh appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. And of course, this is speaking of Abraham. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender, good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had prepared, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. So, as you can see here, Abraham, the father of our faith, this giant servant of Yahweh, ran to greet 3 men, and then also ran to prepare a meal for these 3 quote-unquote men, 2 of which were actually angels, and 1, of course, was Yahweh himself, manifest in the fleshly, arguably, body of Yeshua, the son, before he was born as a baby to Mary. Now let's look at the Hebrew word here for run or ran. Again, it is H7323 in the Strong's, and it appears 104 times in Scripture. But this is the first use of this word right here, where Abraham, the first Hebrew called out of Babylon, shows us how to serve Yahweh, and that is by running. Amazingly, this Hebrew word is pronounced, drumroll please, roots, roots. Coincidence? Abraham is the first Hebrew roots, or Hebrew runner, for Yahweh. Now I know I want to be called a follower of our Hebrew roots. How about you? How awesome is that? Well, we don't believe in coincidences, and I don't believe there's any coincidence that this Hebrew, Abraham, ran, or roots. He is our Hebrew roots. It's also no coincidence that we have been led to share this message with you this week after our short series of messages on listening. Once we've learned to hear Him, we need to listen, and then we should follow Abraham's example and run to do His will and to serve Him with urgency. So now let's look at more of our scriptural Hebrew roots, or Hebrew runners. Next, we have Genesis 24, verses 12 through 29, which was in this past week's Torah portion. And this, of course, was about the servant that Abraham sent back to his family to get a bride for his son Isaac. And this is what the servant prays to Yahweh, starting in verse 12. Then he, the servant of Abraham, said, O Yahweh, Elohim of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her, and she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for his camels also. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether Yahweh had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. Then the man bowed down his head and worshipped Yahweh, and he said, blessed be Yahweh Elohim of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me being on the way, Yahweh led me to the house of my master's brethren. So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well. Everyone is running here. The servant ran, Rebekah ran, and Laban ran. Let's keep reading a little further, and I will show you another very interesting verse in this passage with regard to not procrastinating when you hear from Yahweh or his servant, the Ruach. As Kimberly Rogers Brown pointed out in her and her husband Michael's Midrash Torah portion study this past Shabbat, Abraham, in this passage, could be a picture of Yahweh the Father sending the Ruach, or Holy Spirit, his servant, to get a bride, Rebekah, as a picture of his assembly, for his son Isaac, a picture of Yeshua. With that in mind, let's read the rest of this passage, and I will insert a few interesting observations as I read it. So it came to pass, when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, O blessed of Yahweh, why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And he said, speak on. Then in verses 34 through 48, the servant explains or recaps everything that just happened up to that point. And then continuing in verse 49, the servant says to Laban, now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, and I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing comes from Yahweh. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as Yahweh has spoken. And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he worshipped Yahweh, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go. And he said to them, do not hinder me, since Yahweh has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master. So they said, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. So they were going to ask Rebecca personally if she was ready to go right away or whether she wanted to wait 10 days. Then they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. So they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. Then Rebecca and her maids arose, and they rode on camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebecca and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai Roi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her to his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So here, I think we can also see a prophetic picture. If Isaac is a picture of Yeshua and Rebecca is Yeshua's bride, then Yeshua's mother Sarah would represent the woman spoken of in Revelation, the woman who bore Yeshua, the Messiah, and that woman would be Israel, or more specifically, the tribe of Judah, the southern kingdom, as Yeshua the Messiah was from the southern kingdom, and he was from the tribe of Judah specifically, would be represented by Sarah here. Yeshua would be the son Isaac, and the bride would be those who are brought to Yeshua by the Ruach, his father's servant. Then Yeshua or Isaac takes the bride into his mother's tent, which would be Jerusalem. Now let's go back and consider verse 55 for just a moment. And he, the servant, and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10 days. After that she may go. So Laban and Rebekah's mother wanted to procrastinate for 10 days. But when the servant said he needed to leave and hurry back, they let Rebecca make her own choice, the bride make her own choice as to whether she wanted to leave immediately and hasten to her bridegroom, or whether she wanted to tarry another 10 days in Babylon. Let's read a few other scriptures that talks about 10 days and see if we can see a prophetic picture here as well. 1 Samuel 25, verse 38. This passage is about Nabal and Abigail. When King David came to Nabal for food or sustenance for him and his people, Nabal was stingy, but Abigail went in the night and took supplies to King David. After that, 10 days, the Lord struck Nabal and he died. Yahweh struck Nabal after 10 days, after him not recognizing King David as Yahweh's anointed. Then we have Daniel 1, verses 8 through 15. And of course, we know this story where Daniel was taken into exile to Babylon and became part of the king's court. And the chief eunuch brought in abominable food to Daniel and his cohorts. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now Elohim had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants." So he consented with them in this manner and tested them 10 days. And as we know, Daniel and the other three were looking even better after the 10 days of being set apart to Yahweh. They were in better shape than the others who actually ate the abominable food. Next we have Acts chapter 25 verses 1 through 12. Now when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept in Caesarea, and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore he said, "Let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man, to see if there is any fault in him." And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. When he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, "Neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all." But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, "Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and be judged before me concerning these things?" So Paul said, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving death, I do not object to dying. But if there's nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go." And this all took place after Festus tarried in Jerusalem for 10 days. So Daniel's appearance was judged after 10 days of being set apart, and Paul was judged or seen by Festus after 10 days of Festus tarrying in Jerusalem and then going out to Caesarea from Jerusalem to judge Paul. And lastly, Revelation 2 verses 8 through 11. This is the clincher that ties them all together, in my opinion. This passage is to the angel of the church of Smyrna. "These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days, or they're going to be tested, inspected 10 days during tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches or assemblies. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." And I always like to compare the Church of Smyrna with the Church of Philadelphia. Both of them have nothing bad said about them. They're both very faithful assemblies, very faithful churches. But the Church of Philadelphia is going to be able to escape the things that are about to come upon the earth. And the Church of Smyrna will be tested for 10 days. Is perhaps the difference between these two churches how quickly they responded to Yahweh, to his call for his bride? We aren't told this. However, we can see from the other passages, especially from the passage in Genesis, that Rebecca was asked whether she wanted to go right away or whether she wanted to tarry for 10 days. Is the tarrying for 10 days comparable to the 10 days of being tested, where Daniel was tested and Paul waited 10 days, and then the Church of Smyrna is tested for 10 days? Are these those that don't follow Yeshua or hear his call immediately? Perhaps, but it's something to consider. Rebecca, Isaac's bride, was given the choice of whether to leave immediately to go be with her bridegroom or to tarry for 10 days. We don't know what would have happened should she have decided to tarry for 10 days more in Babylon. The next passage in Scripture where we can clearly see our Hebrew roots or Hebrew runners is Genesis chapter 29, verses 12 through 13. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father. Then it came to pass when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things. Again, another bride running to tell Laban that her bridegroom has arrived, and then Laban running to greet the groom. What does Laban's name mean? Laban itself in the Strong's is defined as a Mesopotamian, meaning the man Laban was from Mesopotamia or Greater Babylon, where Abraham left from, but the root of Laban means to be or become white. These brides were both in Greater Babylon, or outside of the Promised Land, where they were given by their brother Laban, in Rebekah's case, and father Laban, in Rachel and Leah's case, to their Hebrew bridegroom. The brides all were being taken out of Babylon, from out of Laban's house, whose name means to be or become white. Rebekah was first retrieved from Babylon by a servant of the bridegroom's father, the prophetic picture equivalent of the Ruach, or Holy Spirit, of Yahweh, and perhaps representing prophetically the pouring out of His Holy Spirit that first Shavuot after Yeshua's resurrection and ascension to the right hand of His Father. His bride was retrieved and assembled spiritually by His servant, or Ruach, sent by His Father. Then Rachel and Leah, two brides, were both retrieved out of Babylon by the bridegroom himself, Jacob, perhaps a prophetic picture of Yeshua's second coming to retrieve both of his brides, the northern and southern kingdom, Jews and Gentiles, to make the two become one, and Yeshua himself will be coming personally, physically, to get them out of Babylon. But it will take 14 years for this to be completed, 7 for each bride, a picture of the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine leading up to his millennial kingdom back in the land. Of course, Jacob served Laban 7 years for Leah and 7 more years for Rachel before he could leave with both of his brides to his kingdom. When Yeshua comes out of Babylon with his two brides, he will be bringing large flocks of sheep with them. How cool is this? His word is remarkable, absolutely amazing. Then next, in Genesis 33, verse 4, we see, "But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, Jacob, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept." Is this a picture of Esau, the Muslims, or whomever is represented by Esau in the end times, running to meet up with Yeshua and his bride and welcoming them back? I realize about all the dots or bite marks, as the sages say in the Hebrew text, meaning the welcome wasn't sincere. However, the plain text says Esau ran to meet Jacob, his brother, and did not attack him and his brides as Jacob feared, but instead kissed him. Perhaps that is the welcome Yeshua and his brides will receive, even if only short-lived, when he brings them back to his land. Or maybe some will embrace Yeshua as Messiah and rightful heir to the promise and the land and will welcome him back by running to meet him. Time will tell. We also have many, many additional verses that have the theme of running. And for the rest of this program, I'm just going to quickly read through some of them. And it would behoove you, if you're interested in this topic, to go ahead and look up the rest of the verses about running in Scripture. We can learn a lot from those who ran when Yahweh called. And I'll go ahead and list the ones that we found most interesting below this message for you. First, Genesis 41:14. "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph," and that's when he was in prison, "and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh." And right there in the Hebrew, it doesn't say brought him quickly. It says they brought him running out of the dungeon. And I've always liked to think of the Church of Philadelphia as the Church of Joseph, because Philadelphia means brotherly love. And there are other parallels, as I've stated in the past, between the story of Joseph and the forgiveness of his brothers and the Church of Philadelphia And so perhaps this is the tie-in where we have the Church of Philadelphia, Joseph being a picture of it, running out of the dungeon to appear before the king. In closing, praise Yahweh for our Hebrew roots, for our Hebrew runners, for the giants of our faith that ran to serve Yahweh. And may we be considered among them. May we run to do His will. May we not be among those who choose to tarry when He comes for us. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.